Hello, this is Beatrice Pavia with part one of the Pantograph of Friday, July 3rd, 2026. We go first to page one, where the main story is headlined, Gifted to Grow Good, Clean Food. Kath Family Farms sticks to traditional technology and values. Nestled just outside the boundary of Carlock proper, sits a farm that would appear out of time. There are tractors from the middle of the 20th century featuring no fancy GPS, computer-guided planting, or even an enclosed driver's cab. Plows, planters, and harvesters alike are designed to be pulled by horse, and even the weeders are powered by human labor. And yet, Kath Family Farms is as vibrant and lively as any of the locally owned, family-operated farms that pepper central Illinois' landscape. Jace Kath, a third-generation farmer, once removed, has been farming on his grandmother's old farmstead for 6 years now and grows all manner of produce, from thousands of pounds of potatoes to ancestral corn for flour and even loofahs, nature's sponges. He even supplies produce for 4 restaurants in the Chicago area. I believe that God has gifted me enough with a healthy mind and a healthy body, and not very many people get the chance to farm, Kath said. With a rooted, unwavering confidence, so if I can help provide for others and give them good, clean food, by golly, I'm going to keep going every day I wake up. Kath can be found every Saturday at the downtown Bloomington Farmers Market, where he greets his customers with a hearty smile and a firm handshake, ready to share generations of care through the food he grows. Near the end of June, Kath invited me out to his farm for a tour to see all of his ancient machinery and talk about why he wakes up every morning. Roll up your sleeves, folks, because the cutting board is on the farm this week with Kath Family Farms. Jace Kath grew up spending the summers at his grandma's house with his countless cousins. We all still live around this area, pretty much. Can't go a week without seeing a family member. Just depends on which direction you head, he said, chuckling. His grandparents had 6 children, and Grandpa Kath farmed 60 acres, raised cattle and hog, and managed at least 2 local grain elevators, Kath said. Grandpa's master plan was to get a house for each kid by the time he retired, Kath said, and he had only acquired 3, so that was still pretty good for the short time that they were married. A farming accident in 1976 left the family without their patriarch. Kath's mother was 6 years old. Still, Grandma Kath provided for the family by growing their food, Kath said. This original triangle, he said, directing me to a patch of earth roughly 20 feet by 50 feet, was what fed 6 children years ago. No way. Yep, so my mom was the youngest of 6, and this is where they grew up, primarily for the most part, but that garden was what she used for years just to keep everybody fed. Kath speaks about the past as if he were there with his grandmother, working the soil, tending the plants, harvesting the delicate peppers, tomatoes, pole and bush beans, digging the potatoes, shelling the corn, and the whole while canning and preserving it for a family in the care of those loving hands. And it sounds authentic because his grandmother taught him how to do it. The numerous little Kath children spent their days in the garden with Grandma, each having their role based on age and experience during the whole process, from seed to fruit and eventual preservation, he said. We always worked as a team, and that was always so fun growing up, Kath said, hitting a natural emphasis on those 2 words, his eyes searching back to his childhood. Whether we were giving each other hard times or just learning how to grow stuff, and we didn't know it at the time, but it was quite rare, really. Nowadays, Kath has 2 cousins who help out regularly, Drew Bedwell, who can also be found at the market downtown, and Aaron Kath, who teaches high school English in the off-season. Kath knew in middle school that he wanted to farm for a living. but it was not until he was attending Illinois State University that he'd heard of market farming, growing a small operation for local consumption. Even then, it wasn't until the COVID-19 pandemic that he felt the calling. The food system pretty well fell flat on its face as we saw it collapse, he said, standing inside the greenhouse that anchors the farm's operation. That was kind of the moment of, oh, people do need this, and they actually do care. And I was like, God's blessed me so far. If this is the direction I'm going to go, he's going to keep opening doors for me. And it's just been walking that path ever since. Kath strives to grow things that people need, products they might not find elsewhere, like the corn flour he sells. It's not corn meal, and it's not corn starch. It is an actual flour that can be used like wheat flour, Kath said. Years ago, a Bloomington customer came to Kath with a request. She wanted to make a birthday cake for her daughter, but she was celiac and could not eat wheat. I went down in some research just to find what kind of varieties of corn are good and actually healthy, Kath said. And that led him, to a local tribe of the Cherokee people who gave him some seeds of a special corn that grows tall and thick. That corn there will grow about 13 feet tall on average and put about 9 ears per stalk, he said, pointing to an ear of chocolate-colored corn. And its stalk is massive. You got to use a sawzall to cut it down when you're done. That corn is dried and ground twice to a fine powder, similar to store-bought wheat flour, he said. For the first time, that customer was able to make her daughter a birthday cake for her 14th birthday because she always wanted her mom to make her a birthday cake. So that's how we started doing the flour, Kath said. And that's the whole mission, helping people. He said it multiple times throughout the day. We lost a sense of community a long time ago. I don't know why, but it's definitely gone, he said, not a small amount of regret and longing in his voice. When I was a kid, we could ride our bikes forever, and we knew everybody. Nowadays, it just seems everybody's connected with this, he said, as he pulled a smartphone from his back pocket, but yet so disconnected, which is quite funny to me. That notion is reflected in his farm equipment. As I mentioned, the two tractors are original 1953 Farmall tractors, which Kath prefers because he gets to feel the land as he works it. Much of the other large pieces were rescued from their fate as lawn decorations, which Kath repaired and refitted to attach to his tractors. Many of them require a second person to sit on the drawn tools, guiding parts with their feet and hands to plant, cut, or harvest. It brings a lost human-to-earth connection to life, fusing mechanical ingenuity, nostalgic fervor, and a renewed affection for community. Back in the day, people grew their own food. What they couldn't grow, they got from a neighbor. There was a sense of community, you know, Kath said, getting visibly excited at the prospect. You might have hogs. I had veggies. We trade, you know. I get pork, you get veggies, and that's just how the world was. I kind of would like to return to that era a little bit. And if you are a farmer or a producer and would like to talk with me, the author, for this column, call me or email danielle.alkire@lee.net and be sure to check back next time to find out what we're chopping up on the cutting board. And our next front page story is about America 250, titled Experts Say Be Safe Around Fireworks, Thousands Are Burned Each July 4th. This is a story from USA Today. As America heads into the main event of its 250th birthday celebration this weekend, people across the country are loading up on fireworks to mark the occasion. But what many people would consider to be the most innocuous of the household fireworks collection actually poses the greatest danger. Here's what you should know about consumer fireworks and how to safely celebrate this 4th of July. Every year around Independence Day, 10,000 to 15,000 people go to the emergency room with fireworks-related injuries, with upwards of 15 people dying from household pyrotechnics, according to reports from the Consumer Product Safety Commission, or CPSC. The injuries and deaths are attributed to several factors, including fireworks misuse, malfunctions, unpredictable flight paths, tip-overs, and late ignitions. Last year, 15 people died and an estimated 13,000 were treated in emergency rooms around the country, the CPSC noted in a recent news release, and in 2019, the commission recorded 12 deaths and 10,000 injuries. A full 10% of last year's 13,000 injuries came from a common firework that many people would regard as the safest, the humble sparkler. That number is consistent with the 2019 CPSC report, which found that at 12% or 900 injuries, sparklers were the most dangerous firework in American households. Sparklers, often given to young kids, can reach temperatures above 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit, posing significant danger to a person's hands, fingers, arms, and face. In 2019, the most dangerous fireworks after sparklers were firecrackers, responsible for 800 injuries, followed by bottle rockets, which accounted for 400. And that same year, burns accounted for 57% of reported injuries, with people also suffering lacerations and contusions, as well as fractures and sprains. In its 2019 report, the CPSC noted that children under the age of 15 accounted for 36% of injuries that year, while nearly half of those who visited the emergency room with a fireworks-related injury were under age 20. By 2025, those numbers had shifted slightly, as most injuries were seen among the 15 to 24-year-old age bracket. Men and boys made up an overwhelming majority of fireworks-related injuries in 2019 at 66%, compared with 34% of women and girls. The CPSC detailed several measures revelers should take to celebrate safely this year, including buy only legal consumer fireworks from reputable retailers, never use homemade, altered, or illegal fireworks, and always follow the instructions on the label. Keep children away from fireworks, including sparklers. Sparklers burn at temperatures of about 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit, hot enough to melt some metals, and can cause serious burns in seconds. Keep water nearby. Have a bucket of water or a garden hose ready in case of fire or to safely soak used fireworks. Never use fireworks while impaired by alcohol or drugs. Light one firework at a time and then move away quickly. Never lean over a firework while lighting the fuse. Never aim, throw, or point fireworks at people, animals, or buildings. Never hold, wear, or attach fireworks to your body or clothing. Use fireworks only as directed by the manufacturer. Do not relight a dud. Wait at least 20 minutes, then soak it thoroughly in water before disposing of it. And the safest way to celebrate? Leave fireworks to the professionals and enjoy public fireworks displays in your community. And our last front page story is headlined, Luther Oaks Celebrating the Fourth. This story is Dateline Bloomington. With America's 250th birthday on the horizon, a committee of seniors living at Luther Oaks decided in March that they wanted to get involved and plan something really special. Now the week festooned with patriotic red, white, and blue is here, kicking off with the patio cookout that happens Sunday and continuing with 20 separate events ranging from concerts to crafting, games, history-themed presentations, and more. And throw in some colonial-themed costumes to add to the festivities. I've had a lot of fun doing this. To me, it's really been actually fun and interesting, said Bob Fillmore, 78, who joined the committee only a few months ago. Fillmore, who has been at Luther Oaks for 15 months, served as grill master for the kickoff cookout, making 38 hamburgers and 17 hot dogs, he noted with a smile. A group of five residents have been meeting with directors at the senior living facility at 601 Lutz Road in Bloomington to plan the event. The work has helped keep residents active with a once-in-a-lifetime project and encouraged engagement throughout their retirement community, they said. Committee member Laura Bau, 83, said the majority of those who live with her at Luther Oaks are highly educated individuals, noting the committee gives her a purpose. Many have been dressing in America-themed gear all week, residents said, and scattered across the community are other reminders of America 250, such as cardboard cutouts of George Washington and resident-made art featuring the colors of the flag and American bald eagles. Throughout the week, the residents could listen to multiple presentations, such as The Shot Heard Round the World, Victory at Yorktown, and Meet Betsy Ross. They also had the opportunity to hear multiple musical shows and watch historic movies. Luther Oaks hosts an annual celebration each fall for its anniversary, but residents asked to move the celebration this year to July to observe Independence Day. We just thought that would be a good theme to go along with, and all the residents would like something like that, so we got together and came up with some ideas, resident Janet Creek, 83, said. She stressed the importance of getting residents involved in activities they would enjoy, apart from events that the staff already plans. The resident-led Events and Planning Committee began about a year and a half ago and now looks to put together a special event each quarter. The week-long America 250 celebration serves as one of their inaugural week-long celebrations, but they've also had a couple of other celebrations of the sort before this. Joyce Peterson, 85, said she has enjoyed serving on the committee. She said she has found a way for herself and others to be active in their community, participating in events together, planned by them, and taking pride in what they have done. And we move now to some local and state news. This story is headlined, Police and Firefighters Urge Safety. Bloomington Normal Agencies are ready for fireworks calls and DUIs. This story is Dateline Bloomington. Bloomington Normal Police are asking residents to be safe and abide by the law when it comes to fireworks this Independence Day weekend, but officers will be on hand to help if needed, they say. In Bloomington Normal, no consumer fireworks that explode, such as bottle rockets, Roman candles, and fireworks, are generally allowed. Every year, our officers responded to fireworks-related injuries and damaged property, Bloomington Police Public Information Officer Bryce Jansen said. Although there are some legal novelty fireworks in Illinois, they can still cause serious burns and start fires. The safest option is to leave the fireworks to the professionals. Normal Police Information Officer Brad Park echoed these statements, asking residents to celebrate safely and responsibly. He noted even sparklers may appear harmless, but can burn at 2,000 degrees. Park encouraged families to never allow children to handle or ignite fireworks of any kind. Jansen also said residents should keep children and pets at a safe distance and have a hose or a bucket of water ready nearby if they are using fireworks, and never use fireworks while impaired, he added. Fire safety is also top of mind this weekend for first responders. According to the National Fire Protection Association, fireworks started 32,302 fires in 2023, causing about 15 civilian deaths, 58 injuries, and $142 million in direct property damage. And during the July seasonal reporting period, 44 hospitals and facilities reported a total of 152 injuries in 2025, with 101 people injured by fireworks. About 50% of the injured people suffered multiple injuries, and no deaths were reported in 2025. In Bloomington Normal, fireworks can lead to citations when they are used recklessly, irresponsibly, or illegally, officers said. And for serious violations, the use of fireworks may lead to arrests. We encourage everyone to leave fireworks to the professionals and make safety a priority this Independence Day, said Illinois State Fire Marshal Michelle Pankow in a statement. Public fireworks displays will start at 9:15 p.m. Saturday, July 4th at Miller Park in Bloomington and Fairview Park in Normal, and other shows are available throughout central Illinois. In addition to fireworks safety, police are upping traffic enforcement, participating in the Illinois Department of Transportation's campaign with zero tolerance for impaired drivers during the holiday weekend. The campaign, called Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over, will be increasing traffic enforcement throughout the state, reminding drivers to stay safe. In addition to removing impaired drivers, police will also enforce seatbelt, speeding, and other traffic laws through July 6th. Driving impaired is not a game. It is a decision with potentially deadly consequences, said Stephanie B. Seck-Burham, IDOT Bureau Chief of Safety Programs and Engineering, in a news release. According to IDOT data, last year, between 6 p.m. July 3rd and 11:59 p.m. July 6th, 17 fatal crashes occurred in Illinois, resulting in 18 deaths, with an average of more than 5 people killed each day. 4 of those fatal crashes involved drivers who had been drinking, resulting in 4 fatalities, according to a news release. Plan ahead, she said. If you're drinking alcohol, using cannabis, or any other drug, do not drive. Designate a sober driver, call a ride service, or stay put. Local police shared similar sentiments, advising motorists to follow these safety tips. Designate a sober driver if you're planning to drink. If you are impaired by alcohol, cannabis, or other drugs, use a rideshare service, public transportation, or taxi, or call a sober friend or family member. Do not allow an impaired person to drive. Report drivers who you suspect are impaired and ensure that those in your vehicle are buckled up. And the next story is headlined, Doctors Say Alcohol and Heat Do Not Mix. Dateline Bloomington. With the heat wave hitting central Illinois expected to last through Independence Day, physicians and officials alike are urging revelers to be cautious with alcohol consumption. Number one, don't drink and drive, said Dr. Isaac Tudor, emergency medicine physician with Carl Broman Medical Center. Number two, drink water while you're drinking alcohol to stay hydrated and to mitigate getting intoxicated, because when it's hot outside and you're drinking, you're going to get drunk faster. Because alcohol causes the body to use more water to flush out the system, it dehydrates people quicker, said Dr. Brian Curtis, Vice President and Chief Medical Officer for OSF Medical Group. It also causes you to make poor decisions and does not allow you to recognize when you're in trouble, right? So you could actually be getting into a heat-related illness, and if you've been consuming alcohol, you may not realize it until it's too late, he said. Heat sickness comes in 3 stages, Curtis said. Heat stress, when the body is dehydrated. Heat exhaustion, when people are sweating profusely and overheated. And heat stroke, when the body can no longer regulate its own temperature, requiring immediate medical attention. In extreme heat, by the time someone feels thirsty, you're already behind, Curtis said. By the time your body is kind of telling you that you need to drink water, you're already behind as far as fluid goes. Once you get behind, it's actually hard to catch up because the body is going to sweat more water out in extreme heat. Because of the increased risk of heat sickness by combining extreme heat waves and alcohol consumption, Tudor recommends against drinking in solitude. Drink with someone who's either not drinking or in a group of people who are staying sober, he said. And if you see someone who's visibly intoxicated, pull them away from the alcohol that they're drinking and give them some water, and do not let them drive. And this story is headlined, Child Abuse Images Net 24-Year Term, Dateline Bloomington. A Bloomington man has been sentenced to 24 years in prison after he pleaded guilty to possessing images that depict the sexual abuse of children. Tyler S. Kiefer, 30, was initially charged with 24 Class II felony counts of possessing these images approximately a year ago after the Normal Police Department received three separate cyber tips from the Illinois Attorney General's Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force. Police searched his home and reported finding multiple still photos depicting child sexual abuse on various electronic devices owned by Kiefer, with download dates between May 29th and July 26, 2022. Prosecutors previously said some of the photos featured children as young as toddlers, and an expert confirmed all of the children in the photos were younger than 13. Kiefer pleaded guilty Tuesday to six counts of possession of child sexual abuse materials. Assistant State's Attorney Daniel Guido dismissed Kiefer's remaining 18 charges as a part of the plea agreement, which was negotiated between the prosecution and the defendant's attorney, Stephanie Wong. Judge William Yoder sentenced Kiefer to 4 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections for each charge, with credit for 15 days served, online court records indicate. McLean County State's Attorney Erica Reynolds said the sentences must be served consecutively based on the court's finding that metadata of each image made it clear that Kiefer had acquired each of the images on different dates. He is required to serve the 24-year sentence at 50% and complete 3 years of mandatory supervised release. And man gets 20 years for assaulting girl. A man from Normal has been sentenced to 20 years in prison after he pleaded guilty to sexually assaulting a young girl. Philip R. Moore, 65, was initially charged with two counts of Class X predatory criminal assault, sexual assault, and one count of Class II predatory criminal sexual abuse in August 2025 for offenses reported about 3 months before. Normal police officers learned of the incident May 17th when they were called to an area elementary school after a girl under the age of 13 reported Moore had sexually assaulted her. Her parents told officers the assault occurred while they visited family at a residence in Normal. They reported Moore had told the girl to look at an owl in a tree outside the residence, and then while she watched the bird, he sexually assaulted her, prosecutors previously stated. He had been living at the house where the girl was assaulted. The homeowners told police after they learned of the accusation that they kicked Moore out of their residence. And they reported he had been convicted of sexual battery of a minor 30 years ago in Tennessee, prosecutors said. On June 25th, Moore appeared before Judge William Yoder for a plea hearing. He pleaded guilty to one of the Class X felony charges. His other two were dismissed by the assistant state's attorney in response to the plea. Yoder sentenced Moore to 20 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections to be served at 85% and followed by a term of mandatory supervised release, which will range from 3 years to life. And defense attorney Jennifer Patton represented Moore during his plea. And today's Flick Fact question: Bloomington's West Wood Street borders Miller Park, where thousands will gather Saturday for 4th of July fireworks. Why should you sing Happy Birthday twice while you're there? As Bloomington in America celebrates its 250th birthday there on the 4th, famed U.S. Route 66 is having a 100th birthday party in 2026, and Wood Street was once part of Route 66. And this has been Beatrice Pavia with part one of the Pantograph of Friday, July 3rd, 2026. I look forward to reading part two with you next.